IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. When we think about Ashura and the events of Karbala, we're not just remembering a historical tragedy. We're connecting to something much deeper. Every year during Muharram and Safar, we see familiar scenes, black flags hanging in the streets, people carrying alams in the different majalis, voices reciting nohas and marsiyas, and even young children dressed as the little heroes of Karbala. But what do all these things really mean? Welcome to our program, The Viewpoint, your program on IRIB English Radio. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. May Allah increase your rewards for and توفيقات for mourning the martyrdom of Imam Hussein عليه السلام and his companions. I'm your humble host, Sayyid Ali, and it's an honor for us to be here today in this studio. I am joined with two dear brothers, Brother Sheikh Danish. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Salam alaikum.
Welcome. Good to have you here again.
Thank you.
Azam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum. Thank you so much for being here. And dear brother Sayyid Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Once again, I have the privilege to be here with you.
It's a pleasure.
Azam Allah ujurana wa ujurakum. So, we're going to start working and talking about this topic, Muharram and Safar, and different symbols and signs in the artistic works we see people work on and carry during different majalis and ceremonies. So I'm going to start the topic with dear Sheikh Danish. Religious symbols often convey profound meanings and shared values in Ashura, Muharram, Safar. These symbols obviously represent sacrifice, justice, devotion, things like that. So how do these symbols used in Ashura and Muharram and Safar and all these events and ceremonies that they reflect the core values and teachings of Islam and Shia, sects?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As you clearly mentioned that these symbols have a special meaning when these symbols are a reflection of our attachment to wilaya. So if we want to understand this paradigm of ta'zeem al-sha'air, as is mentioned in the verse of the Holy Quran, that وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This is verse 32 of Surah Al-Hajj. Surah Al-Hajj, verse 32, it says that whoever venerates the sacraments of Allah, the Sha'air Allah, that is a sign of God weariness or taqwa of the hearts. And so the overall understanding that we need to have regarding these sha'air is that it is taking us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not venerating these symbols as and of itself. Rather, it fits into a deeper paradigm, in the paradigm of tawheed. And the paradigm of Tawheed, when we look at it, it says that the wilaya is an essential part of faith. And it is the most important part of our faith.
Yeah.
After Nabuwa, of course. So when the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, is martyred in the plains of Karbala, it symbolizes something. It symbolizes the highest sacrifice that a person can give in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the memory of that event, the remembrance of that event, is again inculcating in us values of sacrifice, is inculcating in us values of adhering to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what. And so all these symbols fit into that perspective, that it is taking us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when a situation comes for a mu'min or a believer, they have to sacrifice some of their worldly pleasures, some of their material benefits for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get this message from the sacrifice. And the more we are attuned to it. And the more we are attached to these sacraments, it is basically giving us this direction that we have to go towards the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand the Tawheed through the Wilaya. So Wilaya is a means of approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all these sha'air, all these sacraments, all these symbols have a meaning in that context. But if we, for example, only adhere to the symbolism and forget the inner message or the hidden message, then these symbols will have lost their credibility. And
exactly. Thank you so much. Regarding forgetting the real message behind all these efforts, I'm going to ask Brother Said Muhammad another question, a related question. This Muharram, I was watching a clip made by one of the Sunni scholars, our Sunni brother scholars from the US. He was saying that we do believe that Imam Hussein was martyred, but we do not commemorate it in a way that our Shia brothers commemorated. We do believe that because in the same way that we do not celebrate when Moses split the sea into two parts, or the river into two parts, or the way that this prophet or that prophet was martyred, we do not, you know, spend so much money and effort and time and skills and art to just commemorate it in this huge scale that we see that in Shia world is doing to commemorate it. So what is your response to that? Do we need all these, you know, different flags and different takayas and Husseinias and ceremonies and majalis and all these things to just take place in order to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just to confirm everything that Sheikh Danish mentioned, and in response to your question, I'll take a different perspective to the matter itself. Sheikh Danish talked about these being sha'air, being sacraments, and these being a way and means, a symbolism for us to reach the Tawheed of Allah through the wilayat. I'll take a different perspective answering your question as well. You see, the main essence of this entire so-called azadari, or weeping, mourning for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, attending the gatherings for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, is the message behind it. To reviving, you see, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he came out, we can't see this underestimating the history behind Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We have to see this in the context as it is. Mm-hmm. When Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, he came out, he says, I have came out not to commit mischief and misery and so on in the ummah, but to revive the ummah. بطلب إصلاح أمتي جدي. I have came out in order to revive the ummah of my father and my grandfather. Right. Yeah. So this is extremely important. The entire message of Abu Abdullah Hussein is to going back to the true, pure, untouched, unadulterated path of Islam as the Prophet has brought, and all the prophets before him has brought for us. Again, consider that Islam is not just the incident that it's an advent that the noble Prophet brought. It's something that all the prophets from Prophet Adam strive for until the noble Prophet. And the noble Prophet, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, has completed that religion for us. So keep that in context when we are speaking with our brothers and sisters in Christianity, Jews, Hindus, and so on, who commemorate with us for Abu Abdullah Hussein. They're actually following the same true Muhammadan Islam. This is a point in parenthesis. So the message behind this sha'a, it is more important. These symbolism are forms of art, are a form of sign for us to ponder and to return back and to, you know, just, you know, every single thing that we see. If you look, for example, the traffic signs, there's nothing written in terms of words. But when you look at it, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Just like this, these are all the symbols and signs that when you look at it, you understand the message behind it. Because every time there is Muharram, you see black flags and green flags. Every time there is Muharram, you see banners. Every time there is Muharram, you see Ta'ziyah and Nuhaqani and all of these things. Once you approach this, you know the message behind it, and this revives that. And this is not something outside of the deen, as some of my brothers and sisters in Ahlul Sunnah would say it. You see, the Prophet cried. The Prophet wept. Yes. Before the martyrdom of Abdullah Hussein.
Yeah.
And this is not from the riwayat of, the Shia riwayat. These are from the authentic sources of the brothers and sisters in Ahlul Sunnah.
Yeah.
So we have to keep this in mind. The Prophet cried even before the martyrdom of Abdullah Hussein. Mm-hmm. And who are we talking about? This is not two brothers fighting over inheritance. This is not two people fighting over something worldly. This is not two normal people fighting over something that, you know, petty, that they might have some conflict in the community. We're talking about the haqq and batil, the truth and falsehood.
True.
This is, we're talking about, you know, the fight between Pharaoh and Moses, the fight between Nimrud and Abraham. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw it fit to bring the fight between haqq and batil in so many instances in the Quran, rather I can say the Quran is the book of haqq and batil.
Sure.
Differentiate mizan, as the Quran itself says it. If the Quran, if the entire message of Islam is encompassed in this, then the biggest manifestation of this, وَفَيْدَنَهُ بِذِبِ الْعَظِيمِ, as the Quran itself mentions, is about Abdullah Hussein and Yazid. The biggest fight in the history. And so therefore, we understand this context of when the Imam says, أَوْ أَبْكَ أَوْ بَكَ مَنْ بَكَ أَوْ أَبْكَ أَوْ تَبَاكَ.
Yeah.
One who cries, one who makes others cries, or fakes his cry even.
Mm-hmm.
Now this cry can be extended to any form of azar or azadar, any form of mourning for Abdullah al-Hussein. One way, every culture has its own way of mourning.
Yeah.
Some cry with melody, some cry with rhyme, some cry with poetry, some cry with music. Of course, halal music in the framework of Islam. Mm. All of these are ways, manifestations of this. So when the Imam says, "Man baka, aw abka, aw tabaka, wajabat lahu al-jannah." What jannah is wajib for him is because reviving the message of Allah.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Jazakallah khair. So, dear brother Sheikh Danish, black and green flags are common during Muharram and people carrying them. What is the symbolic meaning of the black and green flags? Sometimes like red ones I have seen. And how do these colors influence the mood and purpose of mourning rituals?
Right. So, regarding the black flags that are a symbol of mourning, right, and black clothes as well, and it's a symbol that has its roots from Arabia, of course, that during those times when a person's near and dear ones would be mourned, they would lose a relative. A near or dear one would be lost, they would venerate that person, or they would have rituals for that person in that form of, by wearing black clothes. And this has been carried on during the centuries, and it has become a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And the flag, of course, is a symbol of the flag bearer of Karbala, Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, who was the flag bearer of Karbala.
Exactly.
And he was basically, in that time, when two opposing armies were facing each other in battle,
mm-hmm.
they would have a flag bearer. And till the time that flag bearer was holding his ground, it meant that the armies were the two armies were fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Once the flag bearer was martyred, another person would take the charge and would become the flag bearer. So a flag bearer was important in that sense.
Sure.
And so the green flags, as is apparent, would symbolize the flag bearer, that is Hazrat Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas,
mm-hmm.
and the concept that we are carrying the flag of the message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Yeah.
That is, the fight against tyranny is being reflected in this age and time by these flag bearers who are carrying the flag of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam forward. And so these are some of the meanings and annotations attached to.
And I guess the green flags and or the green like sort of colorful dresses or customs in general, when we see in this theatrical performance or Shabi Khane, which we're going to talk about soon, represent Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the family, the household of the Prophet in general. And the red ones stands for the enemy or the Bani Umayyad, or Yazidi ones and people like that.
There is more to it, Brother Sayyid. The green flags, of course, as Sheikh mentioned, flags is to identify the side of the armies in battle. So mm-hmm. that's why when the flag is raised from one side, we know, okay, we are fighting with that side is belongs to this set of people, and another flag. So these are identifications of the different sides
like
in battle.
Like their logos.
Exactly. The black is because of mourning, is because of the martyrdom of Abdullah al-Hussein. That's why after the martyrdom of Abdullah al-Hussein, many of the Shias, they move towards wearing black clothes, putting black flags in front of their homes, identifying themselves with black to show that they're in the state of mourning.
Thank you so much, both of you guys. We have to wrap up this session, and let's just conclude the session by reciting one salam to Imam Hussein and his companion. As-salamu ala al-Hussein wa ala Ali ibn al-Hussein wa ala awlad al-Hussein wa ala ashab al-Hussein. May peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ali ibn al-Hussein alayhi salam and the rest of their families and companions. Till another episode, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept that. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا